Greetings this morning, your brothers and sisters. We greet you with the mercies of God, the Spirit of God, through His divine power, the divinity of His power, His powerfulness. Thank you so much for, we feel like God's already been manifested here this morning. Prayer this morning, there's prayer for life. We'd hear life today. I think we've already heard that. The Word of God is creation. Think about Brother Matt's message here when he refers to time. And it struck my heart. So often I have said, I don't have time. I'm too busy right now. And I don't have time. Our God always has been and always will be. Amen. Thank you for those opening comments. It goes very much with the message that I have prepared my heart here for this morning. I will have to say that this message this morning is probably more for me. I don't know if any of you ever had, I know many of you have, a special friend or your spouse, for your young people, maybe a special friend, somebody that you could just kind of open up to and just bare your heart. As a little child, we used to have what we called bosom friends. I don't know where that term came from, and I don't really know. It was just a special friend that we could just really open up to. And sometimes when we had a burden on our heart, we had something that was bothering us, whether it was, or something that, and even today, maybe it's something in the family, the church, or the home. We could just share it with them. It wouldn't fix the problem, but sometimes it's just good just to express it. It makes us feel better just to say it. And then sometimes it gives us courage to move on, to push on, and to press on, and to reach higher ground, and to grow. And that's a little bit how I feel this morning. I feel like that this burden is actually a burden for me. I'm going to share it with you this morning. So have patience with me, if you would, please. I trust that the Spirit of God is here this morning. I feel kind of small, but God is bigger than all that. He's a very big God, as we heard Brother Matt shared with us this morning. And I think we can be very thankful for that. The heart of God is that He cares for His people. Brother Aiden had mentioned this morning that if just one soul from down in Bolivia, God knows every sparrow that falls. Can we just imagine over one soul? Abraham, when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, he kept asking God, but what if there is, but yet so many men faithful? God is faithful. He cares. We think He cares for way more than what we even do. And He's so big and we're so small, and it just continues to impact us how special that is, how very, very special that is. So my message this morning is to grow and to know. To grow and to know. And the purpose of this is a little bit that I can be encouraged to grow. I trust that you can be too, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord, and how important it is that this is the heart of God, and He has enabled us with His divine power to be strong, growing, vibrant soldier of Christ, to grow deep, to grow strong, even in times of ease and pleasure, when there is no storm, rooted in deep. God has called each one of us to higher ground continually, that we can reach higher. It doesn't matter where we are in our Christian walk this morning, I don't think, but we all have. God would desire each one of us to grow. Amen. It doesn't matter where we are. There's room for growth. And so we needn't look at our brother and say, well, I'm further along than he is. But God desires each one of us to grow. And that is my heart here this morning. And I want to impact that in my own heart, that we'd have a desire to grow, that we could seek Him with our whole heart fervently. And we know how important it is. And I have a text chapter I want to read here after a bit, but I'd like to explore growing just a little bit here first. In Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. as children of God, He wants that He will perform that good work with us. In Hebrews, I'm just going to turn to that here real quick. I don't have the Hebrews 5, chapter 5, probably very familiar verses here. Starting in verse 11, it says, "Of whom ye have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." How many of you that have children would be content if your children just stayed children? They never grew teeth, and they just had milk, and you had to grind up baby food for them all the time. It's not what we expect. I don't think it would be, that's not what our heart's desire would be. If we don't expect that out of our children, why would God expect that out of us? He doesn't. He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow teeth. He wants us to be able to handle the meat of the Word and to become strong and to be rooted in. You know, that word rooted in, I'm going to get ahead of myself here a little bit, but there's a seed corn company out there that has a slogan, "Rooted In." And every time I see it, it just impresses me. Rooted in. Why do you think they want to use the, why do you think they want that connotation associated? Rooted in. Because the roots are what bring nutrients from the soil and bear fruit. That is the foundational part of the plant that bears fruit. Should we not bear fruit? Should we not have the desire? Are we not rooted in to draw from the beauty of the Word of God? Amen. I just can't help but think about it every time I see that, rooted in. Rooted in. A group of tourists was visiting a picturesque village, walking by an old man. They're visiting a village, and they walked by an old man sitting beside a fence. In a rather patronizing way, one tourist asked him, "Were many great men born in this village?" The old man replied, "Nope, only babies. We start out as babies, and we have to grow." Every person who is a born-again believer starts life as a baby in Christ. Whether the new convert is 6 or 60, that person is still a new Christian and needs to grow in the Lord. A baby Christian who has been saved for 40 years is a tragedy. God intends for us to grow and mature so that we can be a positive influence in the lives of others. Until we learn to dig into the meat of the Word ourselves, we will never grow. I think it is important that we do not become too comfortable and satisfied with where we are in our spiritual walk. You must not stay as babes. I must not stay where we are now. We must grow. It is the heart of God to bring Him glory, the Word and the Spirit of God, that we do not become lukewarm, but that we are hot. We are on fire for the Lord. We must grow. We must dig in. We must be rooted in. And so we've asked this question. We all know, you children know too, that when you cut a tree open and you see the rings of the tree, you can tell how many years old that tree is by looking at its rings. If you look at the spacing of the rings on the tree, you can see how much it grew every year. And so I wonder sometimes in my own life, if I was to dissect my spiritual life, what would the rings look like? How many rings are there? And I think sometimes that I believe, I should say, in a tree, when you get a drought year, they can pick them out. Like in 1857, they can look and say, that was a drought year. You can tell the rings are really close together. The tree did not grow much that year. I think if I was to dissect my life, my spiritual walk, you could see where there was no stress on me, because that's where my rings would be small, would be the opposite. I think when I grow the most is when God has allowed things in my life that causes me to rely on Him. So are we living a life of ease? When we are comfortable, and I happen to think about this as we come up here this morning, we don't attend here as often as we used to. It's a very special time for us. And it was comfortable being here. We love our church in Dayton very dearly. But yet God has called us. He doesn't want us to be, He wants us to become rooted in. He wants us to grow and to go out. And I think this is part of the growing process. And I think it causes us to sink our roots in deeper. I think that those rings become bigger and wider. And so we can praise God for that. So I'd like to, my text chapter this morning is going to actually be out of 2 Peter chapter 1. I'd like to explain it maybe just a little bit first here. Peter, in the first chapter of Peter, first thing I want to say is that some people believe, some scholars, I should say, believe that Peter didn't write this book because, and I'm not saying whether he did or not, but I want to make an illustration because it is way too eloquent, it is way too deep for a Galilean fisherman. I think the people that believe that have not experienced the life of Christ. Because the life of Christ, Christ can change a man, and the Spirit of God, this is not a letter of Peter. This is the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God. And it's His Spirit that's in there. And so I just want to make that. But just looking at the background, Peter, in the first chapter, Peter wrote to a persecuted church that through all of Asia Minor, all the churches in Asia Minor there. And they were persecuted. They had been scattered abroad. In his first letter, he wrote to them in the persecution. In the second letter, he writes to them warning of false teachers and false teachings that have come into the church that have penetrated and perpetrated and trying to get into the church. But first, in the first part of the chapter, he has an antidote for that. And the antidote is growing in Christ and becoming rooted in, so that we can hold fast to those things which we know. I'm going to speak to your children just a little bit again. Do you know what an antidote is? You all know what rattlesnakes are, right? And rattlesnakes are poisonous, right? And when they bite, you might experience extreme pain or even death. So an antidote is when you get a snake bite, if they give you this antidote, it offsets the poison. I don't have any idea how. It's very simple. It offsets the poison so it won't kill you or hurt you as badly. So this is exactly what the Word of God is telling us, that we have an antidote against these false teachings and false teachers so they won't hurt us. We can war against them. We have a shield that we can put up against them. So in this, as we look in this, so this is what Peter's addressing here, and we're not going to go through the whole chapter or the whole book. First couple of verses, he obviously is a greeting. And then he has, and verses 3 through 4 is divine enablement. Verses 5 through 7 is a call for growth. And then 8 through 11 is the value of such growth. And I'd kind of like to go through this. And so as we start to understand growth, I'm going to read this here in a little bit. As we start to go through growth, do we all understand what growth is? Growth is a progressive development. It is an increasing. Life is a miraculous thing, and in Christ there is life. I would like to make this morning a little comparison to growth with plants. I work with plants a lot, so I'm going to make an illustration here. When a plant grows, it multiplies cells. Cells are the basis of life. They're very, very small. They're life itself. One cell is life. If you take a cell apart, there is no life. So it is the smallest component of life. There's one-celled amoebas and protozoas out there that are creatures that are just one-celled. That's all they are. And they're very, very small. So I want to think about these plants as cells. When a plant grows, the cells divide. One cell becomes two. Two cells become four. Four cells become eight. And that's where growth is. The cells divide and multiply. Every cell that divides is an exact replica of the one previously. I say exact, I'll say it. This process is called mitosis. So I can ask us this morning, how is our mitosis? It is mitosis. Cell division, multiplication, growing. And I will also say, in regards to Peter's Peter's letter here and what he's addressing there, that if I take a soybean plant and I put him in an environment and he gets to the first trifoliate, and then we have cold, wet weather to where he's not growing. There's no cell division taking place and he's not growing. He becomes susceptible, very susceptible. So when it gets like that, then we also have other enemies that come in and attack. We have a mollusk, which is a small gray garden slug that will come up and he'll eat on his leaves and he can't outgrow it. If that slug would come in when there was good growing conditions, the plant would survive and keep going because he was producing cells. He was outproducing cells. The cells were dividing and multiplying fast enough and he was outgrowing and it wouldn't hurt him. But if he's in such an environment that he cannot do that, he will kill the plant. And secondly, that gray garden slug comes out after night. He only works in darkness. So, if we can think about that just a little bit, just as a simple illustration, that I realize that the plant does not have a choice where it is and what its environment is. We as people have been given choices. We can make a choice what our environment is. We can put ourselves in danger, or a lot of times we have a choice to take ourselves out of danger. Let's read, I'd like to read that chapter in Peter here. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I think I'll just read through verse 14 for right now. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it is meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Now, if we go on through the book, you will see in the next chapter, he starts addressing false teachers. In chapter 3, he addresses the mockery in the last days. And some of it resembles very closely to the chapter of Jude, the book of Jude. And these books were written, 2 Peter, I think, was written in the very, speculation was that in the very last days of Peter's life. Somewhere around the AD 60, I think it was, AD 55 to AD 60, Peter, who I think was killed, if I understand it right, was killed by Nero. I'm not sure if I have that right, but I think he was killed by Nero. So are we growing? Got some other chapters. I think we'll just start here going through this verse by verse here just a little bit. There's many other verses that address, and we get to that here at some point here, that address the growth and the growing and the milk, that God does not expect us to stay on milk, but he expects us to eat of the meat of the Word and to grow thereby. And in fact, God told Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply. He expected growth. Be fruitful and multiply. That's what God created life for. He is a God of life. He's a God of growth. And He expects that in our spiritual walk. Second Thessalonians 1:3, it says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." Aboundeth is also growing. It's multiplying. It's adding up. It's becoming more enumerated. More enumerated, I should say. So in the first verse here, we have Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Simon Peter, he's addressing himself specifically, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Those that have that know Christ, he calls himself Simon Peter there. And I don't know if he actually wrote this or if he had someone write it, but we know it's the Word of God. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Jesus was the first one to call Simon, son of Jonas. He called him Peter. I think he gave him that name, Peter. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Jesus our Lord." Grace and peace be multiplied. There we go again. Multiplied. It's growing. It's adding up. It's getting bigger. "Unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord." The knowledge of God is a very important part of growth. And so knowing and growing go together very, very closely. We can't grow in God without knowing God. And I don't think we can know God without growing in God. They work together. They are synergistic. They are very closely tied together. And I trust that each one of us want to know more of God and we want to grow more of God. So I can grow by having more knowledge of God. Verse 3, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." I like this verse. Divine power. What's divine power? Divinity is the Godhead, spoken only of Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father. That's the only time it's spoken, referred to as divinity. The divine, the God, and the Godhead and the Holy Spirit. Through the knowledge He desires us to grow. We start with the knowledge, and we start with the knowledge, and as we go down through these next couple of verses, you're going to see that we start multiplying. These cells are going to start multiplying, and they're going to start stacking up on each other, and we're going to wind up with love at the end. I don't think it's the end, and we're not going to be in, what we talk about in between is not all inclusive. It's just some examples. I'm going to turn to Ephesians 3:19 here. It says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." So the love of Christ actually exceeds all knowledge. And that's why when we start with knowledge and we add all these things to it and these cells multiply and duplicate, then we wind up with love. Because the love of God, we understand that love of God, it actually surpasses the knowledge. Find my place here again, Peter. "According as His divine power, the Godhead power, has given us unto all things that pertain to life." And here we go, the life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us into glory and virtue. And we can think about virtue. What is virtue? I thought a lot about that word. It is a standard of moral excellency, a standard of righteousness, courage or strength and righteousness. It is solid and predictable, and it is of God. And I would like to say today that when we talk of virtue, we don't use that word much anymore. I think we replace that word a lot today with the word values. It's my values. It's your values. It's my standards. It's your standards. And we can put that thing wherever we want to put it. We can put it here. We can put it here. We can put it up here. We can put it up here. Virtues is a value. We can call it a value. It's God's. It's always here and it never changes. I think it's important for us to understand that. That virtues is values. It's not ours. It actually makes it, the Pharisees and Sadducees, God told them, or Jesus told them, He said, they leave the weightier matters of the law undone. They are bragging about them being the seed of Abraham. I think that they set their own standards, they set their own values there, of being the lineage of Abraham. God's virtues or God's values for them was to have the faith of Abraham, not the seed or the lineage of Abraham as much as the faith of Abraham. And so just an example of how we, as people, can so easily misplace values and misunderstand what virtue is. Scriptures talk about a virtuous woman. I think it's just a whole new dimension, a whole new level that never changed and has never changed from the beginning of time. It's God. It's the heart of God. And so when we read that verse, called us to glory and virtue, to me, that's growing. We're called to His glory and to His standard, to His value system. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Whereby ye are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. That by these promises, and the hope, when I say hope, I mean the assurance type of hope, that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Partakers of the divine nature, the godly nature, the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, the nature of the Holy Spirit. We have that nature. We have that nature within us. And by that, we have escaped the corruption of the world through lust. And when I think of that escape, the corruption that is in the world through lust, I cannot help but think about Joseph and Potiphar's wife. I think he escaped that corruption, that lust, by knowing God, by growing in God. He was not a man of weak understanding. He was a man of God. That ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Oh, that we can be more of the partakers of the divine nature, the godly nature. More and more of the godly nature, that we have more of that within us. And I believe this divine nature directs our appetite for what we like and what we don't like. And it ties very closely in with knowledge. We turn to Jeremiah 15:16. Read a verse there. I'm taking this a little out of context, I do realize. But yet this is when God was encouraging Jeremiah here. And it says, O Lord, Thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in Thy long suffering. Know that for Thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Then he says, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah had an appetite for God. An appetite for godliness. Holiness. If we can have that kind of an appetite, that is the godly nature. That is the divine nature within us. When we have that divine nature, that godly nature, that we desire to eat those things of God. And this is what makes us grow. This appetite for good things makes us grow and become strong soldiers for Christ, that we can ward off the enemy and that we can know what false teachings are. We can be discerning. We can have wisdom that was talked about this morning. Yes, so we can be granted wisdom. And thank you for that, Brother Aiden. I just brought back another thought. I am so thankful that God does not hold us always responsible. He does not withhold wisdom from us because we didn't deal with the last wisdom properly. Amen. That is the merciful God we serve. An appetite for godliness. If we feed this kind of appetite, we will grow in the knowledge and the fullness of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go down to verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Okay. Add to your faith. So we already have faith, and we're going to add virtue. We're going to add this God's high standard. We're going to add it to our faith. And this is where our cell division takes place. This is where our growth is going. We're multiplying. We have faith and we're going to multiply. Now we have faith and virtue. And pretty soon, if we keep reading, we're going to have knowledge. We're going to add knowledge to virtue. Virtue is multiplied. And now we have, so we're growing. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Now we have brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Now we're back to love. We start out with knowledge and we're back to love. This is not all inclusive. This is an example of how we can grow. We add these cell divisions and we grow. And we become strong in Christ. But we still have enemies. In the plant world, I'm going to back to the plant world again. For plants, which have no choice, we understand they don't have a choice like we do. There's chemistries out there that man has devised. And there's two different classes of chemistries I'm thinking about right now. One of them is called a root and shoot inhibitor. And it is a chemistry that attacks those cells and keeps them from growing. They will no longer divide. It stops their cell division. A root and growth inhibitor. That's the actual name of it. As the roots grow downward, it stops the cell division in the roots. And the growing point, the shoot of the plant, it stops those cell divisions. Stops the growth. It stops the multiplication of the cell division. And those are called, I can give you some chemical names. Those are the acetochlores and metallochlores and pendolethamines, but anyhow, that's beside the point. And there's also another class of chemistries, and it's called a cell membrane disruptor. So we can look at these as enemies. The cell membrane disruptor comes in, and it destroys the cell membrane and exposes it to the elements. It kills it. Cell membrane disruptors, which happens to be the famecifins and glufosinates. But that's how they work in the plant world, and it stops growth. They're intentional. Those chemistries are intentionally designed to stop growth and stop cell division. We have an enemy, and he is doing the very same thing. He wants to stop our growth. He wants to stop that cell division. He wants to stop these things that we've just read about, our faith and our virtue and our knowledge, our temperance and patience. He wants to stop the reproduction of those. And verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. If these things be in you and abound, if they grow, they multiply, they become more abundant, more populous. There's a promise here, and we talked about promises earlier in this chapter. And this promise is, if these things be in you and grow, multiply, abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture. It is a beautiful promise, actually. It's a beautiful promise. We could go through each one of those, the temperance and the patience, brotherly kindness, the charity, and understanding what each one of those are. I think we all know what they are. Temperance would be self-control, moderation in all things. I think we all know what brotherly kindness, brotherly kindness is and charity. We won't go into that. But if we can, we have to promote these things. We have to grow in these things. They have to be a part of us. How many of us want to grow? How many of us want to become more, to grow in the knowledge, grow in it, and how many, just to be this, to be able to become strong? We can be that as much as we want to be. It's up to us. God obviously wants a life that is vibrant, a life that grows, produces fruit, and we can go in knowing, being fruitful. God talks a lot about the Word of God talks a lot about, speaks to us a lot about bearing fruit, and once again, God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And if we want to be fruitful, I think that's more than just a physical sense. I believe that is a spiritual as well. To abound in the knowledge, to grow. Can I say to myself, grow up, Philip? May I grow up? Can we grow up? I skipped past the diligence here. I had a few things I wanted to say about diligence. I don't know if we understand what diligence is. Diligence is a careful and persistent work or effort. Carefully and persistently work. And that's part of where growth comes from too. Being diligent in those things. As a young schoolboy, I learned that word very well because I wasn't very good at it. And I got reminded of it very, very quite frequently. And being diligent bore fruit. The more diligent I was, the better my grades were. The better job I did, the better my grades were. The more I learned, the more I had knowledge. It's the same way in our Christian walk, if we are diligent. It's that thump on the head with the pencil that reminded me I wasn't being diligent. The knowledge of God and knowing God is the catalyst in growing, abounding, to increase, to make abundant. Covered a lot of acres of soybeans this last week with the combine, and as you're going through the field, you'd say, wow, those soybeans right there look really good. They ought to really, really do well. And you get into them, it's kind of disappointing. They're just not what they ought to be. And you get into some other beans that, oh, they're not as tall, they're kind of short. Well, they look nice, but, you know, they're just not as pretty. And they have more fruit. They're bearing more fruit. So you learn pretty quickly, sometimes, which ones are not always the prettiest looking ones are not the ones bearing the most fruit. And so, I think with that in mind too, as we think about our spiritual walk, I'm just so thankful that God is a just God. I am so thankful that He is a just God. I'm going to turn to a few scriptures here. I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians 15:58 here. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. I didn't write the verses down. I just some things that came to mind here. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Growing in the work of the Lord. Growing and becoming larger, increasing in the work of the Lord. Turn to 2 Corinthians 8:7. I'm kind of cherry picking some things out of here, taking them out of context a little bit, but yet I think that it's still very applicable. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. This is the Word of God. It is by the Spirit of God. This is written by two different people. And it is very synergistic. Those kind of scriptures just, they thrill my heart when you read those things. Therefore, ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us. See that ye abound in this grace also. And while we're there, we'll turn to chapter 9, verse 8. And it says, then God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency, and in all things may abound to every good work. And this is actually putting it back in context. It is about giving. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church there about giving. Verse 6, I'll just read it, maybe put it back in context just a little bit. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. It just comes down to growing, to give. God is able to provide those things. He will. It is His divine power, His divinity once again. Turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 here. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. We cannot separate growth and the knowledge of God. Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I'm going to start back at verse 4 there. And this I say, lest any man shall beguile you with enticing words. And here we go. Beguile goes back to what Peter's addressing here with the false teaching. And we're just simply talking, in Peter, we're talking about the antidote to the false teaching. And this addresses the same thing. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beautiful words. Beautiful promises. These are beautiful promises. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. Turn to that. And the Lord make you to increase. And I'll start with verse 11. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. And then if we go into the chapter 4 there, it gives us more instructions on growth there in that chapter, how to grow. Sanctification and just having the knowledge of God. Just the desire, and we can have the appetite for God. We can ingest and intake into ourselves the goodness of God and the Word of God that we can become rooted in. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Beautiful. Beautiful. That we abound. That your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. He's telling they have this. They're doing this. So that we ourselves, even us, glory in you in the churches of God, for your patience and your faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. My heart this morning is here that even in our times when we aren't persecuted, any of our times of comfort and rest and peace, that we grow. It is so easy for us to become lukewarm when everything is going good. But we do not want us to be our spiritual life to be dissected, and we see these really narrow growth rings in our spiritual walk. We want to see big ones. We want to grow big. Are we growing in the knowledge and wisdom of our holy God and Jesus Christ? How do we know? The Word of God says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." He says, try their spirits and see if they are of God. And then we ourselves, I think, know so much better than what we'd like to think we do sometimes. What's our mitosis? What's our level of mitosis? What's our level of cell division? What's our level of growth? How fast are we growing? How fast are we dividing cells? How fast are we adding patience and temperance on top of faith and the knowledge? How are we duplicating these things and adding these things on top of each other? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Measuring our growth. I'm not sure how important it is to measure our growth, other than the fact to know that we are growing and that we are achieving and striving to achieve the most we can. Unfortunately, I think sometimes as humans, when we start to measure our growth, we start comparing ourselves among ourselves, and we start using the wrong measuring stick. We just have to seek after those things which are above. And when we're looking this way and this way, we're not looking up here. We're not following the path that we need to be following. We're not following the light. So may we follow the light, may we look towards the light, and not measure ourselves against another. I think it's fair to ask ourselves our questions. We can put ourselves our own test. What is my interest? Where is my heart? Is it selflessness, sacrifice, serving, submitting, suffering? If we are suffering for our brother, we are suffering for Christ. Suffering for our brother. And when I say suffering for our brother, I mean that if he is suffering, we are suffering along with him. It's a mutual suffering. Because we love him, because of brotherly love. It's a growing, it's a spirit of growth. Can we have that spirit of growth? Can we have the desire to grow? That's my plea for my own heart this morning. Can I have the desire to grow? And if we're diligent with that desire, we will seek those things, and we will seek that knowledge, and we will grow. I think that is very important. May our growth and may our level of mitosis, may it increase, may it ever abound, may it grow in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to read one more reference here in 2 Peter 3:18, very common verse to most of us. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. It is for the glory of God that we grow in both knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we ever grow and abound. May we pray for one another. Pray without ceasing. That we all may grow and abound, and that we can further the kingdom of God.